This week on Making Contact.
If you could give this to this other child who has nothing to do with you, you have to come and give it 3 times as much to yours. You cannot be tired to carry yours.
They've taught us a lot through trainings about our rights. We've learned, for example, what we can demand as workers without mattering whether we're immigrants or people who are born here.
Their mothers, they're migrants, they're caregivers to our children and elders. Domestic workers are the backbone of many American families, their own families, and their communities. On this edition, through their own words, we pay tribute to the many working women of color who are struggling for acceptance, recognition, and their rights. I'm Tina Rubio, and this is Making Contact, a program connecting people, battle ideas, and important information. In the state of New York, there is a growing movement made up entirely of immigrant mothers of color that is causing the state to look at the role of domestic workers. Domestic workers are best known as nannies, but they are also caregivers and housekeepers, and they do the work that involves taking care of domestic life. While many of these women become second mothers to the children they watch over as nannies, they struggle to find the time to raise their own children. Yet for their work and sacrifice, these women are not protected by most labor laws, and that has prompted some activists to say that the industry is still rooted in the legacy of slavery. But the story you are about to hear is not a story of victimization, but a story of these mothers fighting back.
My name is Radha Kannan. I'm a nanny of an amazing 3-year-old girl. I'm also a mother of a teenage son who is also wonderful, but who is also very strong-willed and challenges me as a single parent. As a single parent, I have to balance the affection to both the 3-year-old girl who I'm paid to care for and my very own son. This is a common story for the some 200,000 domestic workers throughout the New York region. We work long hours caring for others while struggling to find the time for those who we care for the most.
And I was so tired one day. The first day, when the mother came home, she was all happy. And I wasn't smiling. And she's like, "What's wrong?" I said, "I'm tired." And when I'm tired, I don't smile.
Joyce Francis has been a nanny for the past 10 years. Despite the rigors of the job, she, like most of us, developed a strong bond with the child she worked with.
Well, when I put him to bed at night, I would read him a book. I would talk to him. I would try to teach him night prayers. I would sing to him or put on some music, and that would lull him to sleep. And the first thing in the morning, he would get into bed with me as I slept in his room. We had 2 beds in the room. Sometimes at night, he'd wake up and he'd crawl in my bed.
However, sometimes the parents, who are our employers, exploit this bond by withholding our rightful pay.
You want to quit, but you can't, because it's like you're leaving your own child, like you're abandoning him, you know? And that's hard. You can't do that. I can't do that.
So made you stay on with him and the family?
It's a good thing that I'm single and I don't have too much bills. I can handle it. That's why I stayed. But if I were like some people that you have to pay this and you have to pay that, I'd have to leave and get something else. And these days, it's not easy finding a job where you can go home every day. You get live-in jobs easily. But it's hard taking a live-in job because then you're there like 24/7. They expect you to work all day.
Because my situation is that I'm a live-out nanny, mm-hmm. that I go home. But it's difficult because I feel that I give more to this child that I'm seeing presently to my son. Because I have a teenage son and everybody say, well, you know, you have no problem there. This, like some employees will say, well, you know, you have a teenage child, you know, he's big.
That's
no,
when they need you
this
most.
This is the time I have realized, and I'm having a tough time. He's a teenager in New York City. It's like a jungle with a teenage child.
Yeah.
My name is Christine Lewis, and I am a domestic worker for the past 16 years. They say what ain't kill you is what make you stronger, right?
Exactly.
It wasn't easy. Sometimes I look back through the ages, I must say, and say, you know, how did you really do it? Single woman in New York with a 5-year-old child, just getting into pre-K. Mind you, the school that she went to wasn't in the neighborhood where I lived. It was ways away, which meant a yellow bus had to pick her up out front, in front of the building. I had to be at work religiously at 8:30, which meant I left the Bronx around 7 o'clock, hoping that train wouldn't stall or there would be no problems with the train because I will feel the brunt of it when I went to work. By the time we get home, we're tired. So the children are literally raising their children. Now, me being mindful of that, had to come home and dote on my child. Because here it is, I'm giving a stranger love. A stranger I don't even know, right? That child didn't come from me. But how could you not love the child? So you're giving this child all this. And my intellectual mind say, wait a minute. If you could give this to this other child, who has nothing to do with you. It's your form of employment. Yes, it is. And you're not shortchanging that child. You have to come and give it 3 times as much to yours. That was my perception. That is what I believe. That is what I conceive. And it can't fail. I've seen many nannies fail. Our children are raising our children themselves at street corners. You know why? Because we come to make that dollar.
We want justice and we want it right now. So listen to what we say. We want justice.
Domestic work in New York City is done primarily by immigrant women of color. We clean your homes, take care of your children, even walk your dog. Many domestic workers are abused, hired and fired at whim, and are privy to vacation, sick and personal days. Simply put, these women are overworked and underpaid. But we are not victims. We are fighting back. Hundreds of women in the New York region are banding together to bring about change in the way domestic work is done and viewed. Earlene Brown, a nanny, is one of those women.
Because there's so much abuse out there, and the abuse has been going on for so many years, because there's so many people that spend so much time taking care of the children, and when the children get sick, then they're not paid for it. Because when it comes to holidays, such as the 4th of July, Thanksgiving, they're told, well, you're not an American, so I don't see why you should get it off with pay. Because there's so many people that's been working in other people's homes and they've been injured. And when they cannot work, they're just let go with no severance, no sick days, no personal days, nothing. That's why. And because it's been going on for too long. It's been going on from the time they took the Africans out of Africa and they brought them in the homes and they put the men in the field. These two jobs have never been addressed. That no one's ever gone back to correct the wrong that's been done. And people believe now that this is a time to make change. It's been going on for too long.
Earlene is a member of Domestic Workers United, an organization made up and run by domestic workers. It was created in New York just 6 years ago. One of the campaigns that Domestic Workers United has rallied around is the case of Marina Lopez. Marina took care of a 14-year-old disabled boy whose parents, the Di Martinos, were wealthy restaurant owners. The parents did not always pay the 66-year-old Marina, who was expected to lift and carry the teenager in and out and around the house. But what was worse, Marina says, was where she was forced to spend the nights.
Bueno, y lo más duro para mí fue que me tocaba dormir en un Bayman.
The hardest thing for me, actually, was having to sleep in the basement. And what happened in that basement was that the sewage overflowed, and so everything was all over the floor, and I had to sleep there. And I had to go out looking for leaves, cardboard, anything, so that I could walk over everything that was on the floor in order to get back up to the house so that I could continue my household chores.
Marina is also the mother of two disabled children back in her home country of Colombia. She left them to be cared for by others so that she can earn enough money in the States to help pay for the necessary things her children need. Domestic Workers United frequently shows up just outside the Di Martino's restaurant in Queens to pressure Marina's former employer to pay her back wages that was owed to her, as well as let patrons know who they are eating from.
Respect your workers. Shame on Martina. Shame, shame, who? Shame on Martina. I don't want to hear this kind of stuff anymore. We will come back. We will destroy your business. And then we will come again.
We'll be back.
Another front of Domestic Workers United campaign is in the state legislature in Albany. They are working on persuading lawmakers to urge them to pass a measure known as Domestic Worker Bill of Rights. Joyce Campbell is a nanny and a DWU's chairing committee member.
The Bill of Rights is asking for a minimum wage of $14 per hour, paid sickness days, paid vacation, personal days. We're asking for severance pay because after 3 years Marina has put in, and she was not even given as much as a thank you note. And we have domestic workers who put in 9 and 10 years, and then they don't even get a thank you. Like I just said, sometimes they go to work and then doorman say to them, your boss said to me, you're not needed anymore.
We want justice and we want it right now. So listen to what we say.
Women in the domestic work industry are still working the shadows of slavery. These women are mothers who have left their families in Ecuador, Malaysia, the Congos, and the Caribbean to come and be mothers to new families in this land internationally known as the land of opportunities, all the while knowing it will be a long time until they see their own families again. These mothers work hard taking care of others' most prized possessions, the children and their homes. All they ask is to be compensated fairly and to gain respect and justice in the workplace. For Making Contact, I'm Radha Kannan, along with Christine Lewis, with the Community News Production Institute.
We'll have more in a few moments. You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information or for CD copies of this program, please call 800-529-5736. You can also download programs or get our podcast at radioproject.org. We now continue with stories from domestic workers. This time, we're in California, where the influx of migrant workers is one of the strongest in the nation. In San Francisco, domestic workers have formed a coalition to help transform their work lives, personal lives, and the future of their industry.
A las nueve, llego y la levanto, y llega una señora cuatro días a ayudarme a bañarla.
At 9 o'clock, I wake her. A woman comes here 4 times a week to help me bathe her. I clean her ears, brush her teeth, put her lotion on her, brush her hair, cook breakfast and feed it to her. I give her medicine, water, and juice. I sit her down, and after 2 hours, I take her to the bathroom to change her.
That's Bertha. She's a self-employed caregiver from Mexico City. She's talking to me about her day's work, taking care of Mary, an elderly woman with advanced Alzheimer's who lives at home with her husband, who's in his 80s.
I
give her lunch, but I don't have to cook. I cook because I want to. And then I leave at 2, at 3, to go home to my house. And I return again at 6.
Cooking, cleaning, and tending to Mary's everyday needs has become more than a full-time job for Bertha. It's now a lifestyle. A lifestyle born first out of necessity and then out of a desire to take care of senior citizens.
No, aquí me quedo, ya en la noche.
I spend the night here. I change Mary twice throughout the night because otherwise she gets bed sores.
She tells me the bed sores were really bad for a while. That is, until she started sleeping over and taking care of Mary around the clock. For this one family, Bertha is a true blessing. She first came to the U.S. 18 years ago. She found work in a clothing factory, but quit soon after because the pay was poor. And that's why she turned to elder care. Eventually, she grew to like it. And even though the hours are extremely long, she says she's treated very well by her current employers. But that hasn't always been the case.
I had one job where I had to take care of a young man who had brain cancer. He was 40 years old. But his wife wanted me to not only take care of her husband full-time, she wanted me to do yard work, house cleaning, and just basically do everything. But I stayed there 2 years until he passed away because I needed the money.
That's how it is for a lot of domestic workers. They come to the U.S. seeking a better life with better pay to provide for their own families. But often they don't have any control over the kind of work they do or what is required of them during their workday. Their employer has both the capacity to provide a stable income and the power to take it all away.
Por una amiga. Bueno, más que todo no era amiga, no era conocida, sino que yo andaba buscando trabajo porque...
So it was through a person that I knew. I was looking for work to be able to pay rent, to buy food for my children, and a person that I just knew told me about a place where they contract domestic workers, and they brought me to that place, and I contracted as a house cleaner.
Y entonces yo acepté, y ahí fue donde me contrataron.
That's Sylvia. She's also from Mexico City. She came here nearly 20 years ago.
Bueno, yo soy originalmente de la Ciudad de México.
So I'm originally from Mexico City. I came to the U.S. 17 years ago, and like everyone, I came for the American dream, to be able to support our families.
Like Bertha, Sylvia's experience as a domestic worker is a mixed bag of laundry.
Sí, bueno, mis experiencias como limpiadora de casas.
My experience as a house cleaner and a domestic worker is varied. It's not all bad and it's not all good. We have different kinds of experiences. In some homes, we are treated well. But in others, people push us to do too much work, or they ask us to do things beyond our agreement. They might ask us for general house cleaning, which to us means, you know, dusting, mopping, cleaning the kitchen and the bathroom, cleaning the floors, But, for example, people who have pets, sometimes they want us to clean up after their pets or to clean the pets themselves. And that's above and beyond what we would think of as general house cleaning.
En lo que nos han dicho es solo limpiar, no cuidar también de las mascotas.
Sylvia is not alone. A March 2007 study, Behind Closed Doors, Working Conditions of California Household Workers, shows that nearly 90% of the domestic workers surveyed did not receive overtime pay after agreeing to go above and beyond the scope of their job.
Porque a veces no tenemos un contrato por la falta de conocimientos.
You know, we don't have contracts, so we end up in these situations. And people put up with these bad conditions because we need the work and we need to have a way of feeding our families. We don't want to be run off from these jobs because where are we going to find another one just waiting on the corner? You know, and it's hard. Sometimes people get very close or intimate in a way that's kind of sexual, and we have to put a stop to that. But we end up trying to stick it out in the jobs because we need them.
Tienen que poner un alto, pero siempre es molesto para ellos porque no pueden, o uno no accede a los deseos de ellos.
That's where groups like Mujeres Unidas y Activas, or MUA, and the Women's Collective of La Raza Centro Legal come in. They're both San Francisco Bay Area-based groups working to educate immigrant domestic workers about their rights. Inez Lazarte is a volunteer organizer with the Women's Collective of La Raza Centro Legal.
Estamos organizando para defender a la mujer trabajadora.
We are organizing to defend immigrant working women. We're teaching them to negotiate with their employers, to be able to talk with them about their needs and the obligations that employers have.
Inez started volunteering at the Women's Collective because she first wanted to learn about her rights as a domestic worker and then wanted to share that knowledge with her peers.
En primer lugar, ¿cómo empecé a trabajar? Bueno, el trabajo honra.
I have always worked. As my grandmother said, to work is honorable. We have needs and responsibilities to society and more than anything to our families. Somehow we have to find work and to be able to find our daily bread and bring in our daily bread. I worked as a domestic worker for some time, and one time I worked for a while and wasn't paid, and I started looking for a place to go and get some help defending myself.
Necesidad de justicia. Empecé a buscar un lugar donde puedan escucharme, donde puedan defenderme.
According to the Behind Closed Doors study, domestic workers are primarily Latina immigrants who work 12 to 14-hour days, cleaning houses, cooking, taking care of other people's children or elders. More than half are the primary breadwinners, many of them single moms. Yet more than 90% of those surveyed say they do not earn enough money to adequately support their families. Sylvia says that's because her employers don't respect the work she does.
Sí, no se valora el trabajo doméstico, pero es muy importante porque nosotras
it's
somos
true,
las
our
que
work is not valued, but it's very important work. We are the ones who clean up places, and we get whatever cleaning products are given to us, and these products are very toxic. The employers don't care. They just want a clean house, but they don't think about or care about the health of the woman who's cleaning their house. They want us to clean very high places or move heavy furniture. And doing these things is very risky for our bodies, and we have no health and safety regulations in our workplace. We have no workers' comp. If we get hurt on the job, we aren't going to get any treatment. Our employer is going to say, you know, we didn't have a contract. I don't have any obligation to you. So it's very risky.
A nuestro cuerpo, a nuestra salud se refiere.
And she's right. There is little or no protection for these women. Most domestic workers are undocumented. Many live in constant fear of being deported, so they do what they're told. And this means they often find themselves working in substandard and abusive conditions, earning wages too low to support their own families. That's why Sylvia got involved with MUA. She wants to help change people's attitudes about domestic work and educate her peers about the law.
Sí, el trabajo de nosotros es bastante valioso porque sin la ayuda.
Our work is very valuable. Without our help, many people wouldn't be able to go to their jobs. They leave us with their homes and their children. We leave our kids to be able to take care of their kids. I don't know if my kid has eaten, if they're hungry or sick, or if they need me when I'm caring for, you know, another family's kids. We're giving our loving kindness and care to the children of other families while our own children need that from us as well. You know, they come home to a clean house and so they can relax and feel comfortable. And but after work, I go home after cleaning their house, and maybe my house isn't so clean, and there's still more to do.
It's because of groups like MUA and the Women's Collective that Silvia has learned how to put herself and her family first.
They've taught us a lot through trainings about our rights. We've learned, for example, what we can demand as workers without it mattering whether we're immigrants or people who are born here, that there are certain labor protections that cover all of us. So we've learned how to demand our rights. And we've also learned how to demand things like non-toxic products and how to demand a fair wage and pay for the overtime hours that we work.
The state of California considered legislation that would require employers to pay overtime to domestic workers like Silvia. Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed it. But domestic workers in San Francisco do qualify for sick leave. The city passed a law requiring employers to provide 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours worked. It covers both full-time and part-time staff and those who are hired both on and off the books. Silvia says MUA has empowered her and trained her to be a leader in her own life and in her community.
Yes, because at MUA I've gained a sense of security about myself so that I didn't have before, to be able to demand my rights and negotiate with my employers, to put a stop to bad situations when they happen. For example, with those people who cross the line. And, you know, I know now that I don't have to be with someone sexually in order to have a job, or I don't have to put up with some woman yelling at me. I'm a human being, and I need a job, and she needs me, and but I don't have to put up with that kind of disrespect and behavior.
Porque también soy un ser humano, una trabajadora que necesita de ellos como ellos necesitan de mí.
For Silvia, groups like MUA and the Women's Collective have been life-changing. And the lessons of empowerment do not end with her. She shares them not only with other domestic workers, but also with her children. In fact, her 14-year-old daughter volunteers with MUA. Whether it's from mother to daughter, friend to friend, or co-worker to co-worker, a community of interest has taken root among these women, who are often the backbone of their families, the families they provide care for, and the communities they live in. And according to Silvia, there is no turning back to the way it was before.
Sí, tengo más tiempo y también tengo más tiempo para estar reunida no solo con mis hijas sino con
more time for my daughters, as well as more time that I spend, you know, with other women organizing and preparing ourselves to continue this fight to defend our rights and to prepare our children to continue that same fight.
That's it for this edition of Making Contact. For a CD copy of program number 1907, call the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.